I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. They say hindsight is 20/20. Today, world leaders gathered in South Africa to praise the late Nelson Mandela. He was called a giant of history and a hero and one of the greatest leaders of our time. But many of the countries represented at that memorial service didn't always praise Mandela. Some supported the regime that imprisoned him or did little to push for Mandela's release. Chris McGreal is a foreign correspondent for London's Guardian newspaper, and he's been writing about this subject. McGreal describes the reaction of world leaders when Mandela was first released from prison in 1990.
Internationally, of course, he was immediately embraced. But right up until that point, he had been a deeply divisive figure in the West. In Britain, Margaret Thatcher, who was still prime minister, had made a pretty firm stand against sanctions. She stood against a lot of pressure, particularly from African countries inside the British Commonwealth, for sanctions against South Africa. And then, of course, we had Ronald Reagan during the 1980s. He had sided perhaps even more firmly with South Africa. He'd, in the 1970s, made pretty clear that he regarded South Africa as democratic, even though only white people could vote. The essential view in the West was that South Africa was a bastion of anti-communism, and whatever the shortcomings of the government and system in South Africa, it had to be backed up as a counter to growing communist influence in Africa.
I mean, you mentioned the UK under Thatcher and the US under Reagan. Do you mention those because they were the worst in terms of revisionist history?
Well, certainly they're the most influential countries in terms of protecting the apartheid regime. Obviously, there was plenty of hypocrisy to go around, and there were other countries that were quite closely allied with the South Africans. Israel, in particular, springs to mind, partly because after the 1973 Yom Kippur War, African nations broke with Israel. There had been fairly close ties between African states and the Israeli government. They broke, and the Israeli government looked around for new allies and found one in South Africa. Both these countries regarded themselves as pariah states. They developed military weapons together. They worked together on atomic issues, including South Africa's development of a nuclear weapon.
So how do you think this revisionist history was on display today at the memorial service for Mandela?
What you see is essentially an obscuring of the past, a disappearance of the past. You would get the impression from the statements made about Mandela that Western countries had all along really been at the forefront of pressing the apartheid regime to reform and to release him. And while there was lip service certainly paid towards reform, and by 1985, Margaret Thatcher was calling for Mandela's release, actually, that was done in the context of it would be good for the South African regime internationally and politically, not that it was actually the right thing to do. And I think that all of that has been erased, and it's clear that those Western nations that were at the forefront of supporting or at least helping to prop up the apartheid system until its later stages, the display today really represented an erasure of that history, and we were left with the impression, I think, that those countries had been at the forefront of opposing apartheid, which is far from the case.
What about white South Africans? I mean, what do you make of the outpouring of grief from the white South African minority?
I think there's a significant portion of the white population in South Africa that has embraced Mandela and has embraced the change, but not necessarily embraced the consequences. White South Africans have taken on board Mandela's message of forgiveness and taken it as an absolution for their past crimes, the crime of apartheid. And they seem to feel, many of them, that erases the past, that there's no need to discuss the past. And also that in some cases, there's quite strong vocal opposition to the necessity to make recompense for the past or to at least address the past, for instance, through affirmative action. And I think that there's a feeling in some quarters in the white community that the slate's wiped clean and we simply need to move on and not really address the past. And I think most black South Africans would take a different view of that.
Do you think it's entirely fair to summarize this all as revisionist history? Because, I mean, people, after all, do evolve. I mean, F.W. de Klerk evolved from his original thinking on apartheid.
Oh, I think so. I mean, it's clear. I don't think it's entirely revisionist history at all. I think that there's an erasure of history, really, in the sense that it's simply not discussed. I think if we see the reactions, like I say, from Western leaders, and we see the reactions from the Israeli leadership and from others, the impression was certainly left that they had been supportive of South Africa's liberation struggle all along. It's not that people haven't evolved, they clearly have. But I think that in evolving, it's not necessary to erase the past, to ignore past history and to revise it.
Foreign correspondent Chris McGreal with London's Guardian newspaper. Thanks a lot.
It's a pleasure.